greetings to you in Jesus' name this morning. Count it a privilege to be here and worship with you. Welcome your presence at Amelia, Piedmont. We like visitors. And our schedule has been disrupted in the last since March. We are back to having services, and we have some stuff going on that isn't necessarily tested, but the families have been staying away from church that are affected. We have backed off. We're keeping Sunday morning going and kind of watching this play out a little bit. It's hard to know how to make the right decision. One thing we don't want to do is go back to not having Sunday morning church. We have as a congregation decided for now to withhold, to not shake hands or exercise a Christian greeting, and so I think me and my wife will be doing that this morning out of respect of where we are. And if we would have thought, and none of us know, we can be exposed to a lot of different places, if we would have thought as far as we could tell that we would bring you anything. As far as COVID, we would have canceled, and so we're here. We're glad we came and joined the Sunday school discussion. I think it's really good to look at a subject like the life of Joash and see the opportunities he had and where he went with them, and look at our own lives. In Matthew 6, verse 24, I believe it is, Jesus said, "You can't serve God and mammon." And I think that's where we start with Christian service, is get it straight in our hearts. And each of us do that personally, that we want to follow God. And then from there on, we can be open. And then there is work to do. We can't earn our salvation through works. But if we kneel at the foot of the cross and we're a Christian and we're a dedicated Christian, then as a servant, we go out and work for God. And God blesses that. For a text verse, turn with me to James chapter 4. I've titled the message, "Draw Nigh to God." I've been looking at the chapter of James, the book of James recently. Probably should have started with the first chapter, but I want to break in at chapter 4 here and verse 8. It says, "Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded." How do we draw close to God, or how do we stay close to God? As we look at James is a very practical book. And going into the start of James chapter 1, verse 1 says, "James, a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting." He makes it clear he's a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's how we want to stand up here this morning. I don't come with an agenda that I think that y'all need to hear something other than the fact that as Christians and as followers of God, we will always benefit from looking into the Bible. And so this chapter to me is built around verse 8. It gives a lot of practical admonition to verse 8. To keep us on the right path, to help keep us on the right path, comes to verse 8, and he says, "Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you." We have the promise that as we turn and walk toward God, God meets us. He comes to us. We also have the promise in the Bible that you can't serve God and mammon. And I think that's what that saying is if we turn and we start to go away from God, that God is always there. He doesn't walk away from us from the fact, but we walk away from God. If we're in business with somebody and there's a disagreement, there's almost always something wrong on both sides. In a marriage, in a church, when there's a disagreement, there's almost always something on both sides. In our relationship with God, it is always one-sided. And he will always take us back if we turn around and get rid of all the baggage and walk back toward him. God always takes us back. And that's a blessing. And so James's burden was how to stay close to God. I want to just go through this verse by verse and look at this chapter. We're not going to exhaust this chapter by any means, but hopefully as we look at this chapter and we think about it, that we can keep on walking toward God. There's verses in Psalms that have always been a challenge to me. The 24th Psalm, verses 3 and 4 says, "Who shall ascend unto the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully." And so God blesses those who come to him with a pure heart, with a heart that is toward him and is done with the pleasures of the world, or whatever is tying us up. All right, first verse says, "From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your own lust that war in your members?" And so we don't go out and just physically fight each other, right? And that's not what it's talking about. What about our brotherhood relationships? What about our family relationships? What about the relationships in the community that we deal with, the people we deal with, if we have an employer or if we're a businessman? How do we get along? So someone who is following, so let's step back, and James says he was a servant of Jesus Christ. How did Jesus relate on earth to people? Isn't it the definition of servant mentality? Didn't he go, and so Jesus came as a man, but he also was God. He also knew the outcome of the people he was talking to. He knew that as a majority, they weren't accepting him. They had a different plan for the Messiah. But he didn't stop loving people and helping people. So that's the mentality we should have. So he asked the question, where do these problems come from? It says, "Come they not hence, even of your lust that war in your members?" And so all of us need to realize that we have within ourselves what Joash did. We have within ourselves to turn away and walk away from God. We have it within ourselves to keep looking good Sunday morning and harbor covetousness or anger or bitterness, envy, the whole list. We have the ability to cover that up behind a pleasant face Sunday morning. But you know what? That path will take us. That path is progressive. It will take us the direction we don't want to go. So he's saying, when you have problems, look at yourselves. And in solving problems, relationship problems, we should always look inward. And I probably grew up hearing that a fight was always two-sided. And you've heard me say it almost always is. But I was with spent some time with Brother Steve Ebersole some years ago. And he said, A problem is not always two-sided. So let's think about that. Because it may have started as a two-sided problem, in a relationship problem. And one person repents and is just done with that. And they want to rebuild that bridge. And they want to just mend the fence. They want to do everything they can do. So they take it care of them for themselves. And their heart is free. But nobody, God doesn't make anybody accept an apology. And so I want to be clear on that. But it's really hard to be mad or angry, or we wouldn't want to say mad, but it's really hard to be bitter as someone who is really remorseful and is really sorry. That's really hard to, we might be able to hang in there for a while and keep some bitterness in our hearts, and that's really discouraging to the other party. But as someone is repentant and has a servant mentality and is walking with God, it's really hard to stay bitter at that person. It really says something about me if I can stay bitter at them. Something really, really bad. So let's remember that as we follow God, there is within all of us to see our side of the picture and nobody else's. Let's keep that in mind. I think that's what James was telling us. Verse 2, you lust and have not, you kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you have not because you ask not. If I was going to ask for a raise of hands here, I'm pretty sure nobody would say that they feel like they've asked God for too many things. It's just, in everyday decisions, do I ask God? If I have a need in my life, if I'm thinking of a material or physical need, do I just say, I'm going to put in some overtime, or I'm going to work a little bit harder, or I'm going to start an extra project, and we're just going to cram this thing in, and this should meet this need, and it may be a legitimate need. Let's make it easy on ourselves and say, we have a brotherhood aid need, and we need to raise some money. We still should take it to God. And realize God can work it out. Yes, we need to be diligent. Yes, we need to provide for our own and be able to help those around us. I'm all for that. But let's keep God involved. It says, you lust and have not, you kill and desire to have. It's envy. You cannot obtain. Frustration. You fight in war. I think that is an outworking of being in that mindset. It says, yet you have not because you ask not. And so what does that mean then? If I have a need, I go ask God and God just automatically fills that up and it's going to be smooth sailing. And I'm telling you, that religion, that preaching is out there and it's wrong. It's 100% wrong. We can make it easy on ourselves. And so there's a fundraiser comes out from a big Protestant church not far from us. And they tie in your business success to your tithing. And that is wrong. I'm telling you, the blessing as a Christian, as a Bible-believing Christian, we have to realize, we need to realize, and the Bible points us this way, God is taking care of us by providing heaven for us for eternal bliss. And if that doesn't move our heart, yes, we're going to be frustrated. Do we enjoy the blessings in this land? Absolutely. That's good. I enjoyed hearing the brother talk about coming up and enjoying the scenery. We did the same thing. And it was beautiful. God, even with the sin scars on this earth, it's a beautiful place to be. And even though we can be concerned and should be concerned about changes happening in our country, it doesn't affect where we're going and what God has planned for us. We should be so thankful that in our lifetimes, we've had the opportunity to spread the word, to build relationships in the community, to see people respond. I don't know what our nation's future is. Brother Sim told us recently that if Noah had 120 years to build the ark, and he told people what was coming. I just think it's a lot less than 120 years that we have here. I mean, yeah, for us physically, absolutely, but as far as for our country. And I don't know what God's plan is, but But I know he always takes care of his people, and that the promise of heaven will always be sure to his people. And we get comfort from that. Verse 3, he clarifies. It says, "Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts." So how do we look at this then? Is there things that we would like to have, but we're not sure that we really should pray for? Is there things that we leave up to a good year, or that we would really like to do, or how do we, this is something that we need to look at our hearts. And this is something that God sees 360 degrees. It's really easy to point fingers at our neighbors or our church brethren and say, you know, he needs to be careful. We know that a good tree doesn't produce thistles, doesn't produce bad fruit. But the challenge for me personally is to not go to my, to not do my recreation or things that I really want to do outside of the box that I have with God. So if I have a box with God that I ask him for things, what shouldn't I include in that box? You know, the answer is nothing, and that's what he's saying here. You ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts. God always answers prayer. You know, we can pray for someone that's sick and suffering, and for their healing, and God heals. He really does. You know, I'm going to add that God always heals. Sometimes he heals us by taking us home to where we'll never suffer again. And sometimes he heals us by keeping us down here for more time. But the human experience always ends in death. The important thing is to be ready so that the end of our life gets better. And that tempers what we ask for and how we look in life. Verse 4, he talks about unfaithfulness. He says, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." And so he uses adultery, and adultery is unfaithfulness. And it's there. You can't, in a marriage, adultery is a very hard thing. And it can it be forgiven and repaired? Yes, but it was there. And it's serious. And we all know that. Okay. Do we look at drifting away from God as seriously as what James is telling us here? And we should. And he just goes on to say, "Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." If that's too hard for you, then go back to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24. He says, Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, "You cannot serve God and mammon." That was Jesus' words. And so what do we do then? Do we just make a whole list of rules? And we say, well, you do this and this and this and this and this and you're going to be fine. And no, it doesn't work that way. It didn't work that way for the Old Testament saints. Yes, they could have a relationship with God. And there was people that had a strong relationship with God. But for the people who didn't want to serve God but yet wanted to keep one foot in the door, there was plenty of ways to get around all them rules. And it's the same way for us today. And that's what he's talking about. That's why he says, he talks about adultery, spiritual adultery. And it's serious. To the Laodiceans, I think that's, you know, we talk about that. And I remember my dad telling me, he came from a family situation where most of them just left. It just happened a little bit at a time, and they just left, and they just started going. And now, where are they? So where does that start? You know, we talked about it this morning, I believe it was in Sunday school class, that most of the time we don't just get up and do something big. We don't just all of a sudden just get up and say, I'm done with church. Or I'm done with serving God. It's a process. I have a friend. He told me when he left, he said, you know, people wonder how I just got up and left. He said, I didn't. He said, when I look back on my life, he said, it started a long time ago. He said, it started years ago. So let's think about that. That's why God takes such a hard stand on it. Verse 5, he says, do you think that the Spirit, the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? He's saying, you know, that's something, that's our nature. That's where we're at. Verse 6, he gives encouragement, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. As we kneel before God and we're humble, God hates pride. The devil was proud, and he was cast out of heaven. What do we have to be proud of? How does it look to God who sent his Son to the world to die for mankind, knowing that mankind, and by and large, would reject him, and yet he did it out of his love? And then what do we have to be proud of? Verse 7, submit to God. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. There is abundant power there to live the Christian life. It isn't something we need to do to where we're almost not making it. That's not the way God wants it to be. Yes, we have struggles. We have times when we go through discouragement. And thank God for his word and for our brotherhood and to pick up, to humble ourselves with God, and there is an abundance there to live for him. And then that verse 8, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. The promise that as we walk toward God, he draws close to us. Verse 9, be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to joy. Excuse me. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. And what he's talking here is the effects of sin. There should be a soberness. There is a soberness in a Christian. There's not the frivolous, always laughing. Yes, we should be a friendly people. It's good to have a good time in a godly manner. I'm telling you, the laughter of the world, if we get addicted to that, if we start to move that way, it will take us down. If we have something that we're not ashamed to be laughing about when Jesus comes, that's good, that's great. But that's one of the things we should think about. Am I laughing at something? Am I enjoying something that I would be embarrassed to be doing when Jesus returned? And that should really be a red flag for us. And as we think about, the more we think about God and the more we realize what he's done for us on Calvary, there's a soberness there. Verse 10 says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. You know, if we go follow a business model, you know, it's the way up is up. You know, it's there. You know, you want to expand. You know, you look for opportunities. You're aggressive. And we should work hard. Verse 10 says, God will lift us up. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. So the way down is up in our Christian life. Kneel at the foot of the cross, humble ourselves, and God will lift us up. Verse 11 goes on, speaking on relationships again. It says, speak not evil one of another, brother. And he that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art a doer of the law. Thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? So it's a command. Speak not evil one of another, brother. So if a brother falls into sin, brother or sister falls into sin, how do we speak evil of them? I think outside of discussing what has happened, yes, it's going to need to be discussed, it's going to need to be prayed for, Anytime we step out of discussing it in a redemptive way, we're talking evil of our brother or sister. We don't hide sin. And so that is talking of a fallen brother. He said, "He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother." So how do we deal with it then if we don't judge people? So the Bible commands righteousness in Christians. And as a congregation and as leadership, as we're following God, then there is requirements. And the Bible has straightened that out, what those requirements are. Jesus' teaching in the Sermon on the Mount, the epistles, we have a pattern to follow. And so if I, as a dad or a leader, am not holding myself accountable, and yet I'm holding a church member accountable, I'm judging, right? I think that's very plain. I'm way out of bounds. I'm as guilty as the person who is being corrected. But if I can be like James, and he's a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, then he had some things to write for us. He had things for us to live by. He had admonition. And it's very similar to the Sermon on the Mount of what his master had written, if you go back and compare. And so there is accountability for all of us. And I'm glad to be part of a church who holds people accountable to help them on to glory. But let's get ourselves out of it. Let's not have anything in it for ourselves, for our prestige. I'll read verse 13 through 16. It talks about how we relate with plans. "Go to now, you that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings, all such rejoicing is evil." My uncle told me years ago, he said, "Plan like you're going to be here 30 years and live like you're going to die tomorrow." Okay, think about that a little bit. I think he hit it about right. Because what's it going to do to our 30-year planning if we're ready to die tomorrow? I think our 30-year planning is going to be all right. And all of us are very capable of forgetting that. When times are going good, I'll just quote from a little bit. In Deuteronomy, I believe it's chapter 8, God was telling them that when you come into this promised land and everything, you're going into a place that's already established, it's already civilized, it's got olive oil, honey, it's good farmland, you just move in there and take off. Don't think that you're the ones that got this started. And that's my words. And you know, we're forgetful. It's really easy for all of us to forget what God has done for us. And let's don't let the American dream affect our planning. Let's remember that what's ours is God's and live that way. Verse 17 says, "Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." I think that fits in well with the lesson this morning. And it really adds a meaning to it and a seriousness to it. I'll just tell you a story that he's gone now. Brother Marion Miller shared one time. And he said, You know, there was an evangelist then, and they went to a parts store, and there was a deputy there, I believe, law enforcement, and the evangelist got to talking to him, and I don't know where all their conversation went, but the officer really wasn't real comfortable with it. And as Marion told her, he kind of cringed, you know, just a little bit. I mean, in his words, maybe he should have backed off a little bit. But, you know, as I remember the story, I think it was within a week, for sure a month, that officer died through, I think it was a heart attack or something. And that's one side of the story. You know, years ago, we had a man on the job. I would guess I was 17 maybe, and he had a condition, leukemia, I believe, and it was still working when he could, and he didn't directly work for the man I was working for. He was a contract truck driver. And, you know, I never personally talked to him, and, you know, I just remember thinking, well, you know, I'm young and whatever, but we really got to be good friends with him. We admired his pluck and how long he worked when he was, and yeah, he had a good attitude. And you know, but for me personally, I never talked to that man about salvation. And I've never forgotten that either. I never went back and asked. I never went back and asked, but we worked for a godly man, and I'm reasonably certain that he talked to him. But you know, James says, when we have something, and it can go a lot farther than the situation I'm talking about, but when we have an opportunity to share the word, or we have an opportunity to help someone, it's serious not to. Actually, he says it a little bit different than that. He says it's sin. And I'm not, you know, I think that's something that we each look at our hearts. It's really hard. It's impossible for us to go say, well, hey, you know, you should have done that. You had an opportunity to do that. You know, but as we of a congregation can just look at our hearts and realize what's important and what we need to do, then God will bless us for that. So let's kneel in prayer.